The Unpublished Podcast with Amy and James.
Hello, creatives. Welcome to another episode of the Unpublished Podcast. My name is Amy.
I'm James.
And today we have, honestly, one of the most precious people to me on the podcast. It is Augustine Charles. Augustine and I have been working together for maybe like three, maybe even four.
Way longer than that.
Yeah, 4 years.
4 years now, yeah.
Augustine is a writer, a dancer, a poet, a creative coach. Like, what doesn't he do? He is the like exemplar of multidisciplinary creative, and he teaches me so much. And I'm so excited to have you on, Augustine. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course, I'm excited to be here, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with you both today. And I love working with Amy. She's the best. James is the best. Everybody's the best, and I love working with both of you.
Thank you, Augustine.
Yeah. So
let's dive in. I want to start with just hearing about your story, and you know what. I love how multidisciplinary you are. You have so many creative practices. How mm-hmm. you came into all of these things, how you mm-hmm. are now with all the arts. And just a bit about who you are and what your creative journey has been, because it's been incredible. And witnessing you and watching you navigate your creative life has been amazing. So I'd love to hear that.
Great. So I guess I'll start from the beginning. I really got into the arts when I was a kid. I went to a high school musical camp. I used to play soccer. I used to be in the sports when I was a kid. And then I was like, I got hurt. And then I was like, I need something else to do. So my mom was going to the gym and they had a high school musical camp at the gym. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. So I did that. And that is how I found my way into the arts. And from there, it sort of took on a life of its own. I stopped playing sports and really just dedicated my life to performing and being in that space. And then my brother got sick and he got cancer. So then that sort of shifted my life again. So I found the arts to be a really useful tool in therapy. I was young, I was 12, 13. So I was had lots of feelings going on, lots of things I need to express. So that was a perfect way and a perfect place to do that. And really, I think one of the guiding points of my life come from that is because when he was in the hospital a lot, there was a space called the art therapy room, where kids could go, where there was no doctors, no like medicine, where they could just be and create art. And they also let the siblings go. So I would go there quite often, pretty much all the time. And I really found the connection that art can be healing and art can be used to help people grow and to move forward with the things in their life. And I found that to be really strong and really key for everything I do now. Like, it literally is embedded in everything I've ever done and I do since that point. And I didn't even realize it until I got older. I was able to articulate that.
I could just jump in for a second.
Yeah, Augustine. Absolutely.
It's such an amazing story, because I think so many of us struggle to understand that art is important. And I think what you're demonstrating there immediately is like, you had an incredible example so early on in your life that art was really, really important, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was a key foundation for a lot of people. Like, that was a space that a lot of people found their happiness in when their days were really hard or their lives were struggling and they were going through things. That was a space that allowed them to process that. And it became a separate space in like its own sort of universe, its own sort of world that then lended itself to the furthering of the world they were currently living in, like as it was. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, me and James are really into at the moment, like this, the literal, like both mental and physiological, like bodily healing that art gives. And the idea that arts need to be in hospitals, and like how incredibly important it is for people who are moving through sickness to have art. And I think it's an amazing like origin story for you, and also an incredible connection to your brother, Nicholas, that you had this art as you were supporting him going through that.
Yeah. And we always connected to that. Like, he had a speech impediment and for me, I have a stutter, so we didn't talk a lot to each other, but we always spoke to each other in lots of different ways, and art was one of those ways. And then further in the life, he unfortunately passed when I was in high school, but that is when I found that art was going to be another vehicle to process that. And I started diversifying the styles of art I was doing. I started really diving into dance and found that movement was a really strong style for me, because like you said, it's healing for the body, and it really heals the body. And then from there, it really just took on a life of its own. I wanted it to be a career. So I found that through the course of high school and college that I really enjoyed being the visionary on the side and helping other people create their dreams and getting other dreams up and lit and lifted, and also to create work that really had an impact on people on a broader scale. Whether that be you make a piece and it really touches someone with the story, or you're able to attach it to a fundraiser, or you're able to use that as some sort of political statement, it really took on a life of its own. I really want it to be used for impact is what.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something I've seen within you. And it's why I've been so excited to work with you, because every single project you do, and you do so many fucking projects and you have so much art to give, and it all sits at its heart is like, this is, it's the most generous act. And I feel like I'm constantly trying to tell people like art is generous. And you're the perfect example of this. Like when I see you making things, I see your heart in it. And it's like, this has the impact. This has impact. I like this idea that you are here making art that has incredible impact on the world. And this art, idea of art as generosity is perfectly, like you're the perfect example of it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that I think has driven everything I do, even outside the arts. I realized that when I was in college, I had access to more information about how the industry works, how it runs, how things are happening. And I found that my use of art didn't align with the stereotypical teachings that they were giving us. And I found that that wasn't necessarily the type of artist I wanted to be. So while I was there, I really had to figure out the kind of artist I wanted to be. And that was really the foundation of where I really started to figure that out. It's where I was like, okay, well, I don't necessarily think it makes sense for me to work for free or to do work that doesn't necessarily align with my values just because it's work. So I started having to make tough decisions around that time and really sort of figure out what being an artist looked like, because there was no clear path, and they gave us a path, but that path I just felt wasn't work for me.
And I feel like artists feel like we have to take the path that's given to us, you know, because there's scarcity, there's no other way. And I love this idea that we feel disempowered, but the artist actually has the power of saying, no, I don't want to do this path. I want to do it another way. And it's really fucking exciting, Augustine, because every time we do that, and I see it the way you are doing it, we pave the way for more people to be like, no, I don't want to do it this way. Exactly. It's revolutionary. And the way that you are paving your creative path is revolutionary. Like the way you've been doing your children's books, your publishing, like it is revolutionary, and it is a completely new way of doing things. And it's so important.
And I love the way where you come from. It's like such a grounded way of looking at art, rather than so many times, I think maybe as you're hinting at, Augustine, you go to higher education, you listen to critics, you listen to certain people in the industry, and they just think, you know, art is this head in the clouds. It's about the purity of it. It's about the pure, you know, it's about pure art. It's just about art for art's sake. And it's like, no, we don't do art for art's sake. We do art for our community, for ourselves, for the people in our lives. Like, that's why we do art.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a culture, really. Like, art is cultural, and it really sits in a lot of cultures as a... like there's a part of life, like it's a part of their life. It's not a separate thing. That's just like, it's not only a craft. It's embedded in the way that we as humans connect with each other. And I think that is where some of the missing disconnects were, at least at school for me. Like that was like a big disconnect, was like, okay, but we're just telling stories that nobody's actually interested in hearing or even connected to anymore, because they were connected back then. They were old stories that people were connected to at the moment, but then they were, had their problems then, and they have their problems now, and now people are not connected with them anymore. So how do we then move past that?
Yeah, I often wondered, it's like in school when you have to read a book from, you know, the 1800s or like the early 1900s. I'm like, okay, sure, maybe that's a place for some of that, but why aren't we reading books from right now? Like why would no one in school have given me a book from, you know, when I was in school, I guess 2009, why wasn't I not reading a book from 2009? I guess it just took, maybe it took too long to get into the syllabus or something, but still, it didn't even seem like there were books from 2005 or 2004.
Yeah, I agree. We need artists from now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I really like this. Like, what is relevant? And I love this idea that, like, you're right. Like, art isn't just something we do on the side. It's cultural. It's like very, very human. It's very innate. And it's a part of like how we work as a society. And like, we need to see it like that rather than like something that we consume or that we study or a relic from the past. And I love that way of viewing it. Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop you. Do you have anything more to say in terms of your story? I feel like there's so much you could.
Yeah, we can keep going.
Keep going, please.
The story continues. So from there, I found that theater was my main, became my main sort of art form, I guess, at the forefront at the time. Mm. And I found that finding jobs was difficult because the market itself had a certain type of person that they just wanted to just fall in and pay their dues, and this level of dues that they never told you if you ever paid your dues or how long it would take you to get there to pay them. So I decided I wasn't going to do any of that. I just
good.
Wasn't gonna, I was like, I paid for college. That's the due I paid. I'm not paying for anything else. Like, you either give me the opportunity because you think that my work fits or it doesn't. So I found some great opportunities in the industry, working on a Broadway touring show. But then I found that that space itself too didn't really fully align with what I thought an artist should be. There was still, it's this singular pathway or this own like, oh, you have to fit into this certain box in order to move yourself forward in the way that we will allow you to move forward in the industry. And that has never agreed with me, and it doesn't agree with me still. So I had to start saying no to things. That was very stressful. No, it's a very stressful journey for me, as Amy knows. And saying no became something that I had to learn to do, and it was really, really, really hard to say no.
And yeah, I would love to just pause and speak to that, because I love absolutely. It. Like, I'm 4 years of working with Augustine, like, this creative is the most gentle, like just lovely, like just the most soft, beautiful man ever. And I'm watching him learn to be someone who says no to some of the biggest systems that we come across as creatives, and saying that you are worth something and that you deserve more has been the most incredible fucking journey. And it's why, like, we desperately need you, Augustine, because we need that example, because too many of us are constantly just, as artists, just saying, yeah, whatever I can get, you know, you want me to be that, I'll be that. And so this example that you set for us is so fucking important.
Yeah, it's amazing to hear. I would love to hear you elaborate a little bit more, Augustine, on specifically maybe like what you think could change in that part of the industry, or how you feel like you were able to move away from that, and what steps you then decided to take or to make.
Especially, I think, as you know, as a Black creative, and especially a Black creative with a stutter in the theater industry, like, there's so much there, I'm guessing, that you came across that needs to fucking change right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I came across, there were like two big things that I came across. One was that there was still a lack of diversity. Mm. Being the only person of color, Black person even, on the creative side of the table versus being in the performance side of the table, it's a different standard. There's a certain level of responsibility that is then bestowed upon you that I felt that I rejected at times, because it was like, well, I can't be the only one that has to deal with all of these things. But at the same time, I took it on because I also wanted to help the people who didn't have the power to feel like they had the power to say, to advocate for themselves in that way. Then on top of that, it was a money conversation. Money is a really important thing to me, because I feel like as Black people, people of color, we need to create generational wealth. So one of my other goals in my life is to make a lot of money, but not because I want it to be greed. But when I talk about that, people are always like, oh, that's greedy. Oh, you shouldn't be making like that much money on your art, because the art is the money. I was like, but it's not going to pay my bills. It's not going to feed me. It's not going to help people. I mean, most of the things that we want to do require money, like working on a show, creating a show. How do you think that happened? With money. Yeah. So like, that message, that rhetoric really like drilled into you from school is hard to break for a lot of people. And people still live in that method. Like, there's always people who will work for free because they feel like that's the only way they can move forward. And it does, like, it's a catch-22. I think the art, like, you don't always need to be paid for your art if you feel like that's not what you want. But for me, it's what I want. And it's definitely good. A factor that I counter into everything, which is why I've said no to a lot of jobs, because I felt like, one, it's just like, okay, well, it didn't pay enough for me to take a risk in that way, and also it doesn't show that you value me as a part of the team. So it is what it is. I mean, you didn't really need me, so I'm not gonna join you on
this. This is the energy I want for all of us in 2024. Like, and again, like, I can hear the voices, oh yeah, but you have, again, you've already said it, Augustine, you have to pay your dues as a creative, everyone's gotta grind it out for free. It's like, well, why? What if we all just said no, fuck you, value us, you need us, and we deserve money for what the value we're giving.
Yeah, this gets me incredibly hot under the collar, because it's like, these are industries worth billions and billions of dollars. I know individually, maybe individual theater companies might not be, or individual groups might not be, but still, the industry, I mean, that's also a function of the fact that still at the top of the industry, people are making millions or billions of dollars, and it's not going where it should go. It's not going to the community. It's not going to the people who are involved. It's not getting, because if it was going to people who are involved, it could then spread through to other groups, you know, to smaller groups, and there'd be more money to go around. Like these companies that are worth so much money, they make so much money off the labor of creatives. They want this story to exist. They want us to keep telling ourselves that we should be poor. They want artists to think there's no money in it when there's heaps of money in it. It's just that the more we think there's no money in it, the more they can keep for themselves.
Yeah, I love it. And I also think, and I know we've had this conversation before, Augustine, that like there was a lot of chit chat around how young you were in the industry. And I think a lot of like those older people, old creatives who've been in the industry a long time feel like, well, I had to do this, so you have to do it too. And it's like, no, I'm so sorry that you had to do it this, but I'm paving a new way and I don't have to go through this system the same way you did. Like, I want to pave out a new system.
It's like when you hear, and as not Americans, we can't really sympathize with this, but you know, there was the debate about forgiving student debt, right? And there was the camp of people who were like, well, I had to pay my debt, so you have to pay your debt. And it's like, why can't we just want something nice for someone else?
Like, right, like we shouldn't have to pay it at all. Like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, for education in that way at all. Like, why does it cost so much? But yeah, that's exactly the point. That was the other big thing. Was there was a set system that that they were trying to push me through because they did it that way, or because that's the way their predecessors did it, and so forth and so on. But I was like, I don't think that's going to be for me, and it's not for me, and I'm not doing that. Because it doesn't make sense. Because then it sets me back. And there is a big conversation in almost all the industries I'm in about me being young. It's a really complicated line to toe, because there's people who have worked for so long to get to where they are. And I've decided I'm moving faster than that. And I'm moving a different way than that. So it puts people on edge. And there's a lot of underlying tension sometimes, or confrontation, just because I'm like, okay, well, you directed that piece when you were 30. Two, I would like to direct it at 24. Is that a problem? They're like, well, yes, because you didn't do so forth and so on to get there. But why do I have to do it that way? But I can.
Oh my
do
god,
it
this is the like, biggest question. Now, yes, you can. Like, and why do I have to do it that way? Again, like, this is the energy I want for all of us, especially when a lot of us are going to be working in creative like systems and structures this year. Why do I have to do it that way? And asking these questions, and these are questions that creatives have been told never ever to ask.
And I can imagine that. Those sort of dues you have to pay when they try and lay it out for you. I can imagine that story would change to suit whatever they wanted to. So it's like, I want to do it at 24. They go, well, you haven't done this and this and this. But if you were a little bit older and you had done a few more things, they'd probably say, find a new list of things you hadn't done yet until you couldn't do it.
Yeah. I love this. I think it's just like, so it makes me so excited. Like, I'm not doing it your way anymore. And I think as creatives, like, we're already breaking a lot of rules by, you know, daring to make art and like choosing to take art seriously. But we often fall into a new set of rules, which is these like creative systemic rules that are like put into our creative industries. And so but we fuck that. Like, we have to say no to that. We have to do it our own way. And we have to, and that's the reclamation of this creative power that you are like at the forefront of, Augustine. And it is so exciting. And I think, you know, we're going to talk more about it later in the episode that you can now work with Augustine. But if you are someone who wants to say, fuck these rules and fuck these systems that have been keeping us back and small, like, you are the person to work with here, because this is where you're at. You're at the forefront of saying, no, let's do this a different way. And it's just so exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's all these spaces where people are saying, no, I'm not doing it that way. And it's still less, of course, but it's about finding those places if you don't want to do it by yourself and find those people. Like, I'm one of those people. You're one of those people. Like, we are paving that way. We're part of the paving of that way. And also, it's just a part of, to me, I feel like there's a level to it where it's stressful. Like, it is true. Like, it is a stressful thing to deny that part of the industry. It's what we're taught.
It is,
all taught. So having someone to validate that, yes, it's okay to do that sometimes, is important. Like, I had that with Amy, and that was really necessary for me. To, she was like, yes, you can go ahead and do it. And I was like, yeah, that's all I needed. I'm going to go do it. And then after I did it, I was like, oh, wow, I didn't die.
Yeah.
Nobody died. And I didn't lose my job. Like, there are things that you tell yourself, there's stories you tell yourself that will happen if you go against the grain, that honestly don't always happen. Sometimes, of course, they do happen, because we have a cruel world we live in, and people want to hold you down. It's just the truth. There's a lot of that in there, but a lot of things are just stories. Like, the dreams I even thought of when I was like, oh, that's what an artist looks like, are nothing at all what I thought they looked like going into it, like being there there in the spaces with these people. It's like, oh, I thought being director was so fun, so cool. It's this, it's this, it's this. And then when I got there, I was like, oh, it's really young. So y'all ain't doing that. Wait, so you're not on a yacht every other weekend? Well, then what are we doing?
What's the point of this? Things.
If I'm not on a yacht, what's the point?
Literally, like, if you're not on a yacht every weekend after rehearsal, what are we doing?
That's funny, because Amy's absolute idea of a nightmare is to be trapped on a boat.
It would be.
Anyway,
I'm not a boat girl.
Don't make Amy go on a boat.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Where do you go? The water.
Exactly. Right. Like, I'm stuck and I hate it. Okay, let's. I want to talk about your like book journey as well, and self-publishing, yeah, and your writer's journey. But also, I don't want to like derail you from your own story. Yeah. But I love this part of what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah, the book journey, I think, was that was something that I didn't necessarily think I was going to do, and I didn't think it was a part of my journey. But I had a lot of stories to tell, and there were stories that I felt like, as a child, I wanted to see. So I went with the children's book as my first sort of full self-publishing story that I was going to create from scratch. And really, I think the main thing I learned from it was that doing it let me know that I could do it. And I think having proof for yourself that you can do it is extremely important. And without that proof, I feel like I would be in a different place.
Yeah. I'm going to stop you there, because I just fucking love what you said. Right. The sentence, doing it proved that I could do it, is the best sentence ever. And it's like the only way you can prove it. And it's just literally so beautiful. I love that.
I feel like that's been our career. It's like no one coming before us going, this is what this job looks like. It's just, maybe we should try this. Maybe we should try that. And then when you do it, and then as you were saying before, Augustin, and then you don't die, like the world doesn't collapse around you, and you're like, oh, I'm fine, like it's fine. And people, no one came out and called me a fraud, or no one told me I couldn't. No, you weren't allowed to do that. Or if they did, like, fuck them anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I love that. Doing it proved that I could do it. Amazing. Keep going. Sorry, I just love that line.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing for me. And I'm still proving to myself every day that I can do things, and it's still stressful. Sometimes I'm still like, you know, that's literally not possible. And then I do it, I'm like, oh, well, it was possible. I was just being dramatic. So that level of the journey for me was stressful. That was a stressful part of it for me. But going through it really helped me understand where the limits were and where to push past, where to not push past. Like, the self-publishing industry is not for the faint. It's fun, but it's really hard. There's a lot of, you have to believe in yourself more than people believe in you, sort of thing. And you have
100%.
To do more work, and like more work than even you would assume. So like the other thing that I think some people don't necessarily want to accept is that to be to a certain level of successful, that looks like whatever that means for you, you do have to sort of do some of the business side of things.
Yeah.
And that I didn't necessarily understand to the full extent until I went through this, through that part of the journey, and how much paperwork there was, how much like learning there had to be with like legal and just all of the things that you need to make a book. I was like, oh, it's more than just writing the book, getting the illustrations drawn. Even that process was rough, getting the illustrations drawn. Because my vision for it in my head didn't look how it came out on paper, but I liked it better when it was on paper.
Oh, I love that.
Your vision is sort of like this big dream that feels sort of out of touch. And then when you put it down, you're like, oh, that's actually better, because it's real and it's what it's supposed to look like.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I think you're right. Like, even when like our art never translates truthfully from our head to the page, but the page is always going to be better because it's a real thing. Yeah, you actually did it.
You actually did it, and it's yours and it belongs to you. And yeah, the self-publishing journey is a lot, but it's also like really fulfilling, and I liked it. And I
just
self-published until I feel like maybe the opportunity doesn't make sense to do that anymore. But
yeah,
that's where my journey is now. Is there anything else we should cover around that?
No, I just love your children's books so much. I buy them for all the little people in my life. They're amazing. We'll put a link in the description. Incredible stories. I love it. Like, can you tell us like about like what the stories are and like what they mean to you, just quickly? Because I love them.
Yeah, of course. Well, this first book is about cloud science, but it's really about showing that Black people can tell more stories that don't surround trauma. And it could just be a fun book that helps children learn cloud science. When I was a kid, I would have loved to have a book like this. I love, for example, clouds. I mean, love clouds. I know all about clouds.
I love that.
Whole weather so system. It's my thing. So I was like, oh, I wish I had a book where the characters looked like me. So that's a part of the other part of my mission, which then ties directly to my why of I want to help people. And then my goal is to bring these to little Black people who don't see themselves in things.
Yeah, and it gives I love that.
Another, like another thing to see. And that does tie right directly to the point of, oh, I want to help people. And that's just another way it looks. It doesn't necessarily
look exactly
how I thought it was going to look. It didn't look like, oh, I'm going to go, I don't know, build houses for people. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just like, oh, sorry, Jamesy.
So I was just going to say, and like, I think we have this dichotomy of, oh, you're either doing something actually meaningful to the community or you're being selfish and making art. And it's like,
right.
No. Yeah, or doing art is doing something
it is
for your community.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean.
So
yeah,
communal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not selfish. It's not some kind of
selfish
like, yeah, you, it's not like you're not, you know, missing out on an opportunity to do something real. It is real.
It's very real.
Very real. And it helps people.
It does. Like it's so important. And so, oh my God, I just could go on and on about this. Like it's so exciting to me. And I look at you, Augusta, and I'm like, yeah, we want a huge amount of money in with you because look at all the stuff you're building. And I look at all artists when they tell me what it is they want to do. I'm like, of course you want to build generational wealth. You have to have this wealth because look at what you're going to do with it. Like the art we're going to make with it. And it's so important and it's so exciting to me. And I love that. We'll make sure we get links to those books because they're just precious.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Love them. Okay. So I would like to talk quickly about, and I think we've already kind of touched on it, but just like how our creative journeys don't ever turn out to what we think they're going to be like. And understanding that like we've got this vision of like, oh, okay, so I want to be an author or I want to be a dancer. So this is what I've got to do, this, and this. And kind of coming to terms with that shift of, oh, no, you know, there is no right way. And there is also more ways than I think we're told that we can go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a really hard, a big struggle for me, especially after leaving school. I found it difficult to reckon with the fact that, oh, I'm not in the industry the way I thought I would be in the industry. But then I also realized that that's not the path that I was supposed to take or how I wanted to take the path in general. Like, currently my day job is I'm a marketing manager at a nonprofit that gives funding to youth organizations throughout here in Maryland. And when I look at that, I'm taking sort of the fact that I am learning skills that I think will benefit. Looking at that holistically, it is they're a part of the journey. It's a part of the journey because I'm here learning skills, gathering different levels of leadership styles or information or things that still help people. There are different ways, so it really ties to what I want to be doing. I want to be helping people. It's not necessarily making art all the time, but when I do make art, going back to say being a director, I have all these leadership skills that I didn't have before or that I thought I didn't have before, and they just were like confirmed or I learned them there, and I took those skills and I put them over here, and now this is stronger. So I think it's really about looking at your life and being and thinking about it fully, not just like, oh, I'm not making art, so I'm not doing anything. You are doing great things. Just think, just reframing that, okay, well, this is the job you have to do because we have to pay bills, we have to live. Within that, what can I do? What can I take from that can then benefit my art making or the journey on that side of the creative?
I love that. It's so fucking important. I think so many of us think that our mungle work, our regular work is like only a block. But what if it's actually a huge and integral part of our creative life? What if it's giving so much to our next part of the journey? And like, I think we never look at it like that.
Especially if it supports you, you know, if it sustains you while you're still able to make art as well on the side. It's like, I think some people think, oh, if I didn't have my job, I would make so much art. And I think as you said, Augustine, you said, oh, I might not be making art all the time. But it's like, newsflash, no one's making art all the time. Like it's almost impossible. So it's like, if your job is giving you the energy, it's giving you the ability to then make art when you can, then that's not something to be.
It's a part of your art practice.
It's part of your art practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a part of your journey. Like it's a part of it's a part of the thing. Like we do have human things we need to survive, and it is what it is. I think that's also okay to acknowledge those facts, acknowledge where people are in their lives and be like, okay, well, that is a factor that is real at the moment. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want it to be that way, it's then figuring out what those next steps are in order to make your art practice, say your soul job or your soul practice in that way.
Yeah, but not feeling that shame, or also not even not labeling the muggle work as like something that is, I mean, like people get annoyed at me. And actually, James and I have been talking about taking away the word muggle from the muggle work, because what we're talking about here is that there is art in the everyday, and there's so much to learn creatively and in our more regular jobs.
Yeah.
I really love that. I think it's a really important reframe, because it can just invigorate us and excite us and make us look at like all these opportunities for us to grow as artists in spaces where we're not actually creating art. And I really like that.
Yeah, really cool.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about how you got good at saying no in these very difficult situations. Mm-hmm. Where every social story was saying, oh, you just have to comply, Augustine. You can get what you can get. Like, you're an actor, or you're a writer, you're a dancer, you've got nothing. Just take what you can get and do what they're telling you to do. Like, you were someone who struggled so hard with saying no. And I know it's still a part of a journey, and it will always be, I think, for all of us. How did you find that confidence and practice that art of saying, no, I'm doing it a different way?
Yeah. I think I had to tell myself that that one person who was giving me the opportunity, or that one entity, wasn't beholden of my career or who I was as a person. Like, they didn't hold that. It doesn't belong to them. I did the work to get here, and I deserve to set my own value system and my own level of goals that I have. Like, really, it's about setting the goals that you have, that you want to be and to create, and then understanding that sometimes things don't align with that, and you have to decide if you're okay with sticking with your own value systems or mm-hmm. letting it bend for whatever you felt the reason was. Like, there are a few opportunities that I've said yes to, knowing that I should have said no to them, but I said yes because I felt like, okay, well, there may be something in it that I can use or pull to benefit me in a different way. But for the most part, I'm now saying no to all things that don't serve me, because really the biggest come to the Jesus moment for me was realizing that that person who helped me along the way doesn't own my career. Like just because you helped me doesn't mean I now owe you every single thing. I can't leave you, or I'm beholden to you. You don't own me in that way. So
I find that incredibly empowering. And I think for us, as we move into this relationship with gatekeepers for the first time, and we're moving into a relationship with publishers, like, that we've been really good at making sure that they don't own our career, they don't own our writing journey. We own that, and we choose to be in a relationship with publishers, but they don't own us. And I think we creatives need to reclaim that power. And I think often saying no is a really beautiful way to just reclaim all of that creative power. You don't hold anything over me. I'm the artist. I'm the one with the art. So incredibly powerful, and like a huge, huge thing that we need to learn as artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, Augustine, what's like your home run for your creative career, do you think? Like, what would you love to see yourself doing in, I don't know, however many years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
I just know, as you ask that he's got like an answer of like 15, 20 things. Like, yeah. I've never met a man who can, who has so many different things to make. But go for it, Augustine.
That's so true. Here's what I'm going to say. I do have like 15, 20 things that I want to do. But recently, over the past like few weeks, I've come to terms with the fact that my dreams are not big enough. So I haven't even been dreaming big enough, because I limit my dreams by bad self-talk. So like, when I get to a thing, it's like, I'm going to do this really huge, ginormous project. And then I'm like, but what about all these things that's going to be in the way? So then I lessen it. But I still can dream big, but I'm not even dreaming big enough, I think, in some places.
You have
a dream for a really big show that I want to do one day that takes place inside. In Vegas, they created this big dome that's like a whole screen. I want to make a show in there, but like really immersive and really big. But I feel like that's not big enough still. So we'll see.
I mean, that's just a side quest.
I think you should use the dome of the earth, and you should use the atmosphere. I think so, something under the sky.
I think so.
I love
too.
That.
The whole thing.
I think artists often feel really indulgent in dreaming. We're often called dreamers, right? And we're often called, oh, you're delusional. And so we limit, how big we go. And I think we limit ourselves massively on this. But I think those who really make the impact, they have to be able to take away those restrictions. And Augustine, you've got so much to give. Like, having restrictions on you is like fucking dangerous for the world. It's we hard. Need those big dreams.
It's I hard, but because... I'm sorry, Augustine. You go, you go. No, definitely you go.
Okay, it's hard, but I think the skill I've gotten really good at is taking really big dreams and scaling them down to what's possible, but not losing the essence of the big dream. And I feel like that is hard for a lot of artists to do. Like, we feel like, oh, if we take away these elements, then it's not what it was going to be. But it never was going to be what you thought it was going to be anyway. Yeah. So it's really about taking, like, keeping the essence of that big dream and just bringing it down to what you can realistically do. I think we also have to acknowledge that there's beauty in what we can actually do at the moment we can do it.
Hugely beautiful. And that doesn't mean, it's just another step, right? Like, keeping those big dreams alive and bringing it down to what you can do today. It doesn't mean you don't eradicate the big dream.
Totally.
Yeah. I fucking love that. Fuck, you're full of wisdom. So on it.
I just think it's interesting because someone like you, Augustine, like, you are so multidisciplinary. Just like, I'm trying to think about all the things that, like, you've dabbled in fashion design.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. You've theater, dance, writing. Like, it's just
poetry.
Poetry. So many things. It's like, it would be very easy for you to go, well, I only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah. How do you choose to prioritize, Augustine? And how do you manage this, like, capacity for, you know, a huge amount of crafts?
I think it was limits that people were putting on me, because people were always like, you can't do all those things. Like, you will never become a master at one of them or be good at one of them because you're doing so many things. And I just decided that I'm going to be good at all of them, and I will figure it out throughout the day. I think one of the things I do now is I pick and choose what products I'm working on when, and I just focus on those for a time, or I put things in place to allow me to focus on those for a time. But then I'm also still working on the other things. Like, say that maybe I'm not choreographing a piece right now, but I'm still taking a dance class on the weekends because it's me moving in that space. But the truth is, I can't do it all exactly at the same time.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Nobody wants to do everything all at the same time. That feels like a lot of work, and that feels exhausting in that way.
I think it's so powerful to have all of these interests, because I'm just thinking about one of our dear friends who is an actor, and she's quite a successful actor. But then, you know, even at the stage she is in her career where she's getting good jobs, but there still might be a 6-month break between exciting projects. So she's like, okay, well, what am I going to do? So now she's writing scripts. And that's like an amazing, fulfilling creative practice that she has in the interim.
Yeah.
There, and it lights her up and she gets so excited about it. And it's like, well, I'm not going to be dictated by these studios about when I'm creating. I'm going to find something to do by myself that's going to fulfill me, and that could lead to something exciting as well.
Yeah. I think it's super important that we follow curiosity as creatives. And we've been taught, I think, by our industries to specialize. But our curiosity is what makes us great creatives. And we also forget that all of these different crafts feed each other and help each other. And we just become better and better at each of them when we're even not focusing on them, you know? They're like so symbiotic and beautiful in that way.
Yeah, and plus a lot of the things that I do, they inform each other. Like, pretty much everything that I do informs the other thing. Like, my dancing was really strong because I was an actor first.
Yeah.
I was able to tell stories differently than, say, dancers who started dancing only and only dance. There was a level of my dance that was different than theirs. And I was like, oh, because I was able, because I was able to pull the other things, because we can do more things. We have more to use, more tools in our toolbox, I mean, it's symbiotic, like you said.
Yeah, I love that.
I have a bit of a curveball, which is, as a dancer and an actor and a writer, I'm interested, you're someone who obviously, and I know that you also like to keep up your fitness, you're like someone who knows their body is a tool to do art with. Mm-hmm. You're not just someone of the mind. And that's something that Amy and I have been interested in lately. We speak to dancers and they often say, oh, some parts of Amy's work don't always speak to them, because Amy does speak kind of cerebrally, but we're trying to move away from that and trying to acknowledge the role of the body. Like, what do you see the role of your body in creating art, if any?
I think the body is my main form of art creating, because I think it's really grounded in, when I use my body to create art, it really connects to the earth, I feel like, or it's really connected to everything. I feel like it's really grounding, and it grounds my body. It helps my mind think. I think when we use the body, thinking about it from the lens that every emotion we have, it can be shown in our body. Like when we laugh, maybe our shoulders bounce. Mm. When we cry, maybe like you see it in our face, we have tension. Like every single thing that we do as humans is really connected to our body. So to not acknowledge that or not use it in that way, or use it as like a vehicle for art, doesn't necessarily it can, I lost my train of thought, but.
No, I love what, I love what you're saying.
You nailed it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it as well. Like, I think too many of us are just forgetting that this is like, this is almost where we begin.
Yeah, like, it's we almost not, like, we don't talk as babies. We're like, we don't have those tools. We just have our body and what we can do with it at the moment. And a lot of that is, it's, for me, it makes my art feel more instinctual because it is sort of instinctual. Like, it comes from a certain place, but then on top of that, I layer it with everything I've learned, everything that it comes from, because art is also be embedded in who we are. And it is like, you hear a song, you can feel it in your body. Like, there are just things that we as humans are just, we're just in tune to.
Yeah. I think the more I talk about this, the more I read about this, I'm like, art is just like, it is who we are. It is cellular, and it is like about our community. It is cellular. It is everything, and we're so quick to dismiss it as something that's just for fun, but it is like actually like one of the most fundamental things of being human, and it's really exciting to me. And I think we are really slowly, as like humans, learning that.
Yeah, I think the art community is behind the eight ball a little bit on this.
Yeah.
In terms of how the importance of the body and the way the body and the mind interact with each other. I think we are very prone to thinking of ourselves as brains in jars. But I think it is going to be a growing
movement. Yeah. This is our tool. And then not just that, but that art like does stuff for our body.
It does. Like when you read a really like great story or impactful story, how does that change? Like, it doesn't just change your mind. You like feel warm, or you feel like it really everything we feel is connected to our body. Our brains are connected to our body. So like, when it's all in there. So for dancers who want to work with another dancer, I also do that too. Like, I work with dancers on growing their craft, their techniques, sorts of things as well.
Amazing.
And just really the stories through dance is really powerful and useful. And sometimes it's not for everyone, I will say. There is dance has its own level of things that it needs to work on. But overall, I think the body is extremely important and very useful in almost everything.
It's our tool. It's what we got.
That's a good segue. Unless you wanted to
say something else.
I was going to say that's a really good segue to tell people how they can work with you.
Or
what sort of work you are doing with artists, Augustine.
Really, I'm supporting artists in what they need through being a creative partner. What I'm seeing is that a lot of artists feel they're alone in their space, or they're not... can't find a community or a person to work with, to brainstorm off of, or to dream with, or to help them get to the next step, or to help them plan the next steps, or figure out what the next steps are. There's all these silos of work which limit how much progress can be made, because we need more of us doing things, more of us doing things for it to push forward. And part of my work is really working with artists on getting their dreams to reality. That's one of my biggest goals, to help people bring their dreams come true, which is why I want money, so I can help them do that. But on top of that, for artists, if you need someone to brainstorm with, if you need someone to read something, like currently I'm working with a client who's writing a book, and we go chapter by chapter right now, and I give feedback on story, character, those sorts of things, like really giving them things that they find useful. So it really varies per person. But also, if you need someone to like really be there for you, or to be like, okay, well, you now need to get this done on time, like you need someone to be to hold you accountable to deadlines. If you need someone to give you permission that it's just okay to be where you are there in the space, like if you don't have the bandwidth right now because your life is giving you what it's giving you, then that's okay too. How do you find your way into art that way? I can help you with that. Maybe it's coloring, maybe it's doing word searches, maybe it's little things like that that can then lead to you finding your bigger pathway.
And
really what I do is help people make the arts a part of their life.
Yeah, amazing.
And if we could give an endorsement to you, Augustine, it's like, we have seen from the outside how you and your mom have just going after your creative dreams, and how you have just had a relentless force for going after your creative dreams, and that you're just so, you're good at making things happen. You just make things happen.
I completely agree.
And incredibly inspiring to us. And I think now that Amy and I don't do one-on-one coaching anymore, I haven't for a few years, a lot of people ask us, you know, who can I work with? Who can I get coaching from? And I think that, you know, if you're resonating with this conversation, then Augustine would be a great person to work with. You know,
100%. Like, we need one-on-one support as creatives. And even though I'm not offering that right now, like, if this is something you need, if you need that support, especially I think if you are someone who is working within like gatekeeping systems where you want to break the rules, you want to rebel, like you need, you know, support like Augustine is offering. So I really cannot recommend Augustine enough. Like watching you again, yeah, I've never met anyone who makes things happen quite like Augustine and his mum Lee, who's also an author and Lee's been on the podcast before. Both of you just fucking incredible creatives who are just here to making impact, like profound impact. And watching you do it is literally one of the greatest joys in my life.
Thank you. Yeah, my mom is the GOAT. She taught me everything I know. She pushed me this way. So really it's all, you know, she's the original.
Give it to Lee.
She doesn't do one-on-one coaching right now, but I do. And I can support you in a multitude of ways. We can really connect to you. I do have certain things on my site so far, but if that doesn't resonate with you, we can schedule a 15-minute call to talk about what you do need. We can come up with our own packages to figure out.
Amazing. How
your dreams come true creatively.
And that's another thing is that Amy and I have been repeatedly inspired by you and Lee as well. So it's like, inspire us, you know, Amy might be inspired to write, but you know, I think there are a select few people that we've worked with that we talk about all the time and that we feel like have really boosted us along.
Yeah, have
journey
like
as well.
Changed our journey. And like you and Lee really have, like the way that you go after things have impacted us. So we will make sure, Augustine, that everything's in the show notes, because please go look at his offerings. And as Augustine said, if you just want to have a 15-minute chat to see if you can create something more bespoke, like we'll make sure all the options are there. Thank you so much, Augustine. Like,
of course,
I'm sure we'll have you on again. Like, I feel like we only scraped the surface. There's so much to talk about here, but I'm so grateful for you.
Is there anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
No, I just love you both so much. And you really gave us the permission, me and my mom both, to go after it too. Like, your teachings also helped with that too. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate that a lot.
Our pleasure.
And now we're just living. Everyone's
now
just
we're
living.
Just doing it. Amazing. Thank you so much, guys. We're so grateful. And we will see you next week.